As Pastor Andy mentioned this morning, we're going to be focused on the Christmas aspect of joy this morning. And yes, I did specifically ask him to actually act like you're joyful when you're singing this morning. So that last song was a little bit difficult to do that. I think you guys did as well as we could. So praise God for that. Hey, we're going to go ahead and release our children back to Children's Church at this time with Mrs. Winfield and Miss Hickok. And it's nice to see the Beecraft family back this morning. Everybody looks like they're feeling well. I know that Jeremiah still has a little bit of a fever, so continue to keep him in prayer if you would. And then the Hines family is here. Merry Christmas, guys. Good to see you. And I have been beginning these messages during this Advent season with a time where I've just told you a few things that I've been thankful for. Before I do that this morning, I want to share a prayer request with you that just came through to me just a few minutes ago. And this is a prayer request for a coworker of Betsy's. Her name is Madison. She joined us last week in the worship service, but she has a family friend who passed away this week, and he was only 14 years old. He passed away of a brain tumor. So if you would, please make sure to keep his family lifted up in prayer. Okay? There are many things that we can be praying for this week. You may have seen some prayer requests come through over the past few days. But I want to spend just a little bit of time telling you what I'm thankful for. One of the things that I'm thankful for is that Miss Brittany Geminer is coming home in less than a week to visit. So, yes, Lord willing, we will have Miss Brittany here with us next week, so praise God for that. I also wanted to praise God for, how many of you remember Mika? He used to play keyboard for us here at the church. Mika texted me, Friday was my birthday, I turned 41. Friday was my birthday, and Mika texted me to wish me a happy birthday, and he and I just got an opportunity to text back and forth a little bit. He was able to tell me that he's still pursuing the bachelor's degree that he was pursuing when he left, and he's still hoping to come back to the United States as a teacher eventually when he finishes. So praise God for that. And then I wanted to share with you another praise this morning. You all know Joshy. Well, Joshy went to the elders this week and shared his testimony with them, and the elders approved him to become a member of our church this morning. So many of you know Joshy's situation with his home and things on the internet. So normally when someone becomes a member, we would ask them to come up and add a leaf to the tree. Obviously, because we're live streaming this, Joshy can't do that. But he did fill out a leaf and ask me to add it to the tree on his behalf. So I'm going to try to do this as smoothly as possible. Jamie, you're probably going to have to cut off my mic because it's going to be kind of loud. And then let's give a praise for the wonderful fact that Joshy has decided to become a member of our church. Very good. So lots to be thankful for today. And I wanted to start this series with what are we thankful for? Because I don't know about you, but for me, Thanksgiving kind of snuck up on me. It was like, it was Halloween, and then all of a sudden it was Thanksgiving. And there's supposed to be like a month in between, right? It felt like there was a few hours in between. So we've been talking about being thankful for the different aspects of the Advent season. We started a couple weeks ago with being thankful for hope, the hope that we have through Jesus Christ. And it's not a hope as though, oh, I sure hope that I win the lottery or something like that. It is a conscious expectation that God has made a promise and he is faithful to fulfill his promises. So it is an expectancy that even though some things have not been fulfilled yet, if God has promised, he will fulfill. That's the hope that we have. And then we talked about peace. We talked about being thankful for peace. God brings us a peace that passes all understanding, a peace that even circumstances cannot shake. And we know that one day, because of the first advent, there will be a second advent of Jesus Christ, at which time all things will be made to be peace. So we look forward to that day. Well, today we celebrate being thankful for joy. Being thankful for joy. And joy is, I think, a major aspect of the Christmas story. In fact, I'm going to click ahead here. I'm going to ask us today that we have thanksgiving for joy. Good morning, Shay. As we think about the concept of joy, I want us to remember that there is a verse in the scripture that says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, think about that for just a moment. When you've gone through difficult circumstances, I think that we went through a whole three-month series a couple years ago through the book of James, chapter 1. You remember that? Where we talked about count it all joy when you encounter various trials, right? Count it all joy. Well, if there has ever been a trial, I think 2020 has been a huge and ongoing trial for many of us. And yet, as we approach the end of 2020 and the beginning of 2021, I would encourage us this morning to find joy in our circumstances. Well, that seems like almost an impossible task in some ways. And yet I think that that's what we're called to do. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to play that first song for you this morning. The one that talked about Jesus being a baby and because of Christmas, men can be saved. Well, you know, we actually, when we think about how human beings are saved, we don't typically think about Christmas. What date do we typically think about? We typically think about Easter and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But as has been a major point throughout this series, without Christmas, there could be no Easter, right? And without Easter, Christmas would be meaningless. So we thank God for Christmas, and I want to look for a few moments this morning at some of the Christmas story and the joy that was a huge part of that Christmas story. So you remember that at the beginning of the Christmas story, actually, if you read through Luke's gospel, as we will in my Sunday school class right after the service this morning, Luke's gospel actually starts with the expectation of the birth of John the Baptist and then proceeds to the story of Jesus. But you remember the beginning of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. It begins with an angel appearing to Mary, right? And then after the angel appears to Mary and tells her that you will have a child of the Holy Spirit, do you remember what Mary does next after she says, "I am the handmaid of the Lord"? Do you remember what she does next? She goes to visit someone. Who does she go to visit? Elizabeth, her cousin, right? And she goes to visit Elizabeth, and that's where I want to start this morning, is in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 39. All right, beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and starting in verse 39. In those days, well, in what days? In the days after Mary had been told that she was going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to a town of Judah, and she entered into the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist. That baby is John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." When the sound of the greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So we have this baby who has not even been born yet. And when he recognizes that he is in close proximity to the Savior of the world, he leaps for joy in spite of the fact that neither one of them have yet been born. Interesting. Interesting. That gives a whole perspective, I think, to the sanctity of human life. But in addition to that, just think about John in the womb and leaping for joy because of being in close proximity with his Savior. With his Savior. Now, go from there and think about your current circumstances. How well are you doing at finding joy in your circumstances? And if you're having trouble with finding joy in your circumstances, what I want you to think about is, what is your current proximity to the Savior? I would gather to say that all of us, when we are in a satisfying relationship with Jesus, it is much easier to find joy regardless of what we are going through. Amen? Now, so we've got this story of Mary and Elizabeth, and I want you to see Mary's response after she hears what Elizabeth has said. Now, get in your mind for just a moment. Okay, Mary, she's been told by this angel that she's going to have a baby who is going to be the Savior of the world. Can you see that there would probably be a lot of emotions going on with that particular circumstance? And she goes off to visit her cousin, and I'm sure there were a ton of questions going through Mary's mind about what all of this was going to look like. And as she greets her cousin responds by saying, "When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leapt." Here's Mary's response. Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Now that last phrase in particular, and of course we're going to get back to the others, but that last phrase in particular, I think, is poignant, at least to me, because it speaks to the fact that Mary recognizes that if God has promised, he will fulfill. Yes, he says, as he spoke to our he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Now, we've talked many times about the significant promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What Mary is doing here is she's recognizing that those promises that God made to those men, though yet not fulfilled, will one day come to be fulfilled. And come to be fulfilled through the fruit of her womb, Jesus. So let's break this down just a little bit. I love especially this first statement by Mary. Now, many of you know that I grew up in a tradition that almost deifies Mary. You know, almost exalts her higher than Jesus in some aspects. I think it is very, very important that we recognize several things from what Mary says here. The first one that I want to point out is actually the last thing that she says in this sentence, where she says, "For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And I think about the character and nature of Mary as we find it in the New Testament. And I think about a humble and godly woman who wants to fulfill her purpose in life. She had no intention of being exalted in the way that she is exalted in some places now. She just simply wanted to be a faithful servant of God. I love the Mary that's portrayed in the scriptures. I think that in some ways, the church has become almost afraid of the Mary in the scriptures because of the Mary that they've seen in other places. And I think if we take just a few honest looks at Mary, we see a hero of the faith. A hero of the faith who was not only a hero of the faith, but a hero who recognizes that she needed a Savior. Right? She says it right in her own statement. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Now, in that particular tradition that I mentioned, they believe that Mary does not need a Savior because only sinners need a Savior. And that particular tradition does not believe Mary was a sinner. And their justification for that was, how could a sinner carry the Savior of the world? Well, you have to deny Mary's own testimony about herself to get that position. Mary clearly recognized that she was in need of a Savior. But even more than that, this one little statement is packed with so much, I think. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit," what? "Rejoices in God my Savior." Now, I looked up the Greek words here for all these different major phrases here. That word soul, it's the word psyche. It means your innermost being. That's where we get psychology and things like that from, okay? Her soul magnifies. Last week we talked about the word mega for just a brief moment, but we related it to the word phobeo. You remember that? It was the shepherds when the angels appeared to them. They were mega phobeo, greatly terrified. This prefix mega shows up here and with the word luno, as in lunar, right? As in light. So we've got a magnification, a greatening of the light is what happens here. Her soul is greatly in the light. Do we feel that way? I mean, we're only literally less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. Are you feeling greatly in the light right now when it comes to Christmas? Or is it one of those things that still there's a lot of uncertainty around it, so it still causes anxiety for us? We don't know what it's going to look like. Maybe it's because we are focused on the wrong things. Maybe it's because we're focused on, are we going to be able to have and hold our same traditions that we've had for years when it comes to Christmas? Maybe we're not focused on the idea that what we're really awaiting is the Christ child. What we're really waiting is the celebration of Jesus' birthday. She says, my soul makes greater, or magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now we're familiar with that word spirit too. If we've been in church for any period of time, we know the word spirit is the word pneuma. And this is particularly, I believe, referring to Mary's spirit, not so much the Holy Spirit. But it's, according to the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, which is just a source, just a book, but it defines a lot of terms. It defines spirit as the efficient source of any power, affection, or emotional desire. So that's within Mary. It's the source of her affection, the source of her emotional desire. And I think all of us have that. We all have things that we are affectionate towards. But there was an interesting thing as I read the Greek related to this word. It talked about the next word, rejoices, to be exceedingly glad. There was something really interesting to me when I read about this word, because one of the resources that I read talked about it being as though there were a leaping. That exceeding joy is great leaping within us. And I thought to myself, doesn't that refer almost perfectly back to what we read in the paragraph before about John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb? So when Mary says she was greatly rejoicing, it's almost exactly like John the Baptist leaping in the womb. Her joy was so complete, she was leaping. We don't do a whole lot of that in church, do we? Maybe we should. Not necessarily physically leaping, but is our joy expressed like it was with John the Baptist before he was born, like it was with Mary? Do we know that the joy of the Lord is supposed to be our strength? You know, there's I can't remember who said this, but somebody said that sometimes we need to tell our face that we're supposed to be joyful. Our face doesn't always recognize that we're supposed to be joyful. There is great joy in the Lord, and as we approach the celebration of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we should have great joy. Not necessarily because of the circumstances that we go through, but because of the fact that we are celebrating a Savior being born. And that Savior being born only fulfilled some of the promises of God. There are still promises to be fulfilled. But because of Christmas, we have Easter. And because of Easter, We know that one day God sets everything right. So regardless of the circumstances that we go through, we can cling to the joy of the Lord as our strength. Okay, I want to look at each of these phrases that Mary uses in this, but I'm just going to run through them because I think that it's a beautiful listing of some of the characteristics of God that she sees, and that joy that she has built up within her just flows out of her as she speaks these things. Here's what she says about the Lord. He who is mighty, holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. He has shown strength. He has scattered the proud. He has brought down the mighty. He has filled the hungry. The rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers. It's that joy is just pouring out of her life, out of her words. What she's expressing to Elizabeth just flows out of her. I wonder if we are at a place where the joy of the Lord just flows out of us. And if we're not, whose fault is that? Whose fault is it? Maybe we need to refocus. Maybe we need to recognize all the wonderful things that we've been given. Because yes, 2020 has been a hard year. Absolutely. Absolutely it has. But there have been some beautiful things that have come out of it as well. And sometimes I think we can't see the beautiful things because we're so focused on the hard things. God has still been faithful. And so it becomes our responsibility to find that joy. There's a old saying that if you don't feel as close to God as you used to, guess who moved? Right? We are responsible for finding our joy. Now, before I close, I want to talk about the Magi one more time. You remember the story of the Magi, right? They traveled from far and they came to find the Christ child. And on their way to find the Christ child, they made a pit stop. You remember that pit stop that they made? They stopped in Jerusalem, and somehow they gained an audience with King Herod. I don't know how it happened. Holy Spirit, I guess. I don't know how it happened, but they gained an audience with King Herod. King Herod had a vested interest in finding out what these men were here for, right? His vested interest was he wanted to maintain what he had and had a fear of what was coming. So let's take a look at these verses here. From Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, we're going to read 1 to 3, and then we're going to skip down to 7 to 10, okay? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was greatly joyful. No, he was not greatly joyful. He was not rejoicing that there was a new king that was born, was he? When he heard about the star, when he found out why the wise men were there, he was greatly troubled. He was troubled. The wise men, on the other hand, they were not greatly troubled. They saw the star and they were excited. They gave up a lot in order to make this journey, in order to find this new prophesied king. So the story continues. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him."
right? Because remember, he was greatly joyful, so he wanted to come and worship this new king. No, he was greatly troubled, so he decided to be sneaky. After listening to the king, they went their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Okay, so we've got a contrast here, I think, between these two sets of people. We've got Herod, who, when he thought about everything that he was being told, was greatly troubled. And then we've got the wise men, when they followed the star, I love this phrase, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I think to myself, how many times have I done that? Probably not nearly as many as I should have. Probably not nearly as many as I would if I recognized all the great things that God has done for me. We've got this contrast between these two. And I love, some of you know that my favorite Christmas movie is called The Nativity Story. And I love the scene in The Nativity Story that depicts Herod meeting with these wise men. And so I want to show you just a couple minutes of this clip from The Nativity Story where Herod is meeting with the wise men.
Your arrival is by the hand of providence. For years I have studied the words of the prophets. Out of Bethlehem shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.
Your Excellency, I too have studied these words. I have waited a lifetime for the signs I now see.
As have many. The star, the one that you have followed, tell me, what does it mean?
The prophecy speaks of a child.
Heralded by the star we have followed these many months.
What do you mean, a child? Are you not here seeking a man? A man ready to proclaim himself Messiah?
No, a child. A Messiah for the lowest of men to the highest of kings.
We too have...
Did you see that look on Herod's face? I love how they depict that. If you saw the look on the wise man's face as he explained to Herod that they were looking for a child, you saw that straight face curl up into a big smile, right? And then as you saw Herod's face, he looked worried and astounded, trying to figure out exactly what they were talking about, because they had been looking for not a child. They had been expecting that when Messiah finally came, if God ever brought him, he would come as a man with an army. Herod's expectations were significantly different than God's plan, right? So I want to ask you a question as we prepare to close here this morning. Out of this story here, who do you best relate to? As we're approaching Christmas and the celebration of our Savior's birth, as we approach the end of 2020 and move towards the beginning of 2021, who do you relate to better here? Do you relate to Herod, who finds out about this new set of circumstances and is greatly troubled? Or do you relate better to the wise men who find out about this set of circumstances and rejoice exceedingly with great joy? I think some of us know how we ought to respond, and yet we have such a hard time finding the joy. Just recognize that this is not the end. This is not the end. God still has a plan. He's still working. We get so bogged down in what's happening in our lives, so much anxiety over things a lot of times that we can't even change, and we neglect the fact that God, we are one day closer to God setting everything right today than we were yesterday. Tomorrow we're going to be one day closer if the Lord tarries. He has promised and He will fulfill. Christmas leads to Easter, which leads to the crown and everything being set right. So let's not allow our circumstances to dictate whether we are troubled or whether we are filled with joy. Let's choose joy and pursue it. Amen? All right. Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that his birth promises for us a second coming. Lord, we look forward to that second coming, even as we come closer and closer to celebrating the day of his birth. Father, help us to always remember that if you have promised, you will fulfill. You are a faithful God and you love us so deeply. Help us to find joy even in the midst of tough circumstances. For your honor and glory, it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.